Welcome to the program. Today we're focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. We begin the show with some excerpts from the recent House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing on FITARA. First, we hear from Congressman Will Hurd, the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on IT. Then we hear from Congressman Jerry Connolly, the co-author of FITARA. Hurd begins the hearing by detailing why FITARA was necessary and why its implementation is so important.
Each year, the federal government spends $80 billion on IT, and 80% of that spending is on old, outdated legacy systems. It's not a secret that the IT acquisition and procurement process in the federal government is broken. In June, we held a hearing examining GAO's designation of IT acquisition as high risk and highlighted how FITARA can reduce IT acquisition risk over time and eliminate wasteful spending. Federal agencies have now had nearly 1 year since the law's enactment and 4 months since the issuance of OMB's guidance to implement this law. This hearing continues an ongoing effort on the part of this committee to improve how the federal government goes about buying, maintaining, and ultimately retiring information technology. In June, I had stated that while FITARA is not a panacea for all IT acquisition problems, it can be a useful tool to make real progress in reducing the risk of these large investments. I still strongly believe this today. This morning, we released a scorecard grading federal agencies on 4 of the 7 key metrics of FITARA: data center consolidation, IT portfolio review savings or portfolio stat, incremental development or CIO authority enhancements, and risk assessment transparency. The committee worked in a bipartisan fashion to develop metrics that fairly assess the progress agencies are making in these areas and then task GAO to gather the data. To be clear, this is not data that we ourselves came up with. The data that was used to compute these grades is largely self-reported by agencies to Congress and OMB. While it is clear from looking at these grades that no agency gets a gold star and goes to the head of the class, some agencies, and we have one of them here today, are making progress. Frankly, though, there's a reason that no agency received an A. We have work to do. One area in particular that stands out to me is the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative. The consolidation of federal data centers not only has the potential for tremendous cost savings, upwards of $7.4 billion according to the GAO, but we have very real impacts on the cybersecurity posture of federal agencies. We as a federal government simply cannot afford to continue spending $80 billion or more on legacy systems year after year after year and expect to keep pace with industry, provide services to the American people, and keep our data secure. We cannot afford to be having the same discussion about IT management and acquisition in another 20 years. Federal agencies should be put on notice that Congress will not sit by the wayside and allow the law to be skirted. No agency will be exempt from this law. But if agency CIOs will simply implement FITARA, meaning they actually make progress in consolidating data centers, find savings through the portfolio stat process, move away from big bang acquisitions to incremental development, and accurately assess risks, we won't be. Now I'd like to recognize the architect of the ISA Connolly, or is it Connolly ISA? Yeah, I always forget. Mr. Connolly, the gentleman from Virginia, ranking member of the Subcommittee on Government Operations, for his opening statement.
I thank the chairman, and I thank him for his generosity. Well, welcome. I'm so glad we're here. We're finally here, and we're talking about the implementation of the FITARA legislation. The bipartisan legislation represents the first major reform of laws governing federal IT management and procurement since the Clinger-Cohen Act of 1996. And although that previous effort established a solid foundation, it fell short in achieving its full potential because, frankly, nobody was watching its implementation. And I hope today's panel and the hearing of these two subcommittees and the leadership on both sides of the aisle suggests we're not going to let that happen, FITARA. We mean it. We want to see it implemented. And we understand that this is the first interim report card. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's a progress report, a snap in time. I've been encouraged at how quickly the administration and federal agencies have actually embraced the effort. And I really appreciate the leadership of federal CIO and office of CIOs and the Office of Management and Budget, especially Mr. Scott, which I think issued some of the best implementation guidelines I've ever seen coming out of OMB. And GAO, similarly, in designating improving the management of IT acquisitions operations as a new government-wide high-risk area really helps pound the case home. This is important. It gets our attention, and hopefully it gets our colleagues within the executive branch their attention as well. I'm actually pleased by the results of a recent survey of federal IT professionals conducted by Meritoc, which was a private-public partnership focused on improving government use of IT, that shows nearly 80% of those surveyed within the federal government believe Fitara will actually have a positive effect on the value of their agency's IT and mission. That's great. They specifically cited its potential to reduce duplicative IT systems and to address the legacy systems my good friend from North Carolina was addressing just a few minutes ago, although I will point out to him, the value at least of COBOL is the Chinese don't know how to hack into it. Late breaking news, apparently they do. That would be too bad. Today we're going to release our initial scorecard focusing on four of those reform activities that kind of constitute what grade you get and why. Data center consolidation, where we're not doing so well, IT portfolio review savings, incremental project development and delivery, and risk assessment transparency. These metrics were selected because their implementation will have a demonstrable benefit on IT acquisitions and operations, and this data is updated and available on a quarterly basis. GAO has already been gathering information from agencies themselves to verify reporting in some of these areas, so the committee tasked GAO with collecting the agency's self-reported information and then scoring it based on our direction. So this is sort of a self-certification process, too, that we're relying on, and so is GAO. I want to caution my colleagues, our partners in the administration, and others in the federal IT community, that this scorecard is not intended to be a juridical prescriptive exercise. It should not be considered a scarlet letter on the back of a federal agency. It is, as I said earlier, an initial assessment, a point-in-time snapshot, much like the quarterly report card one might get in a university or in a school. The intent isn't to punish or stigmatize. It is, in fact, to exhort and urge agencies to seize this opportunity and use the scorecard as a management tool to better guide decision-making and investments within the agency. While the grades themselves are illustrative of overall performance, it's the multiple elements that make up the grades on which agencies and our committee will focus to ensure we deliver on the transformative promise of FITAR. For example, while the Department of Transportation may be the lower end of the scores on certain areas right now, one is encouraged by reading CIO McKinney's prepared statement in which he says IT is no longer just the business of the CIO, rather it's everybody's business. Well, to me, hallelujah. I mean, the gospel is spreading, and that's a good thing because it gets in our heads. That's exactly the point. I also commend DOT on its efforts to implement a more holistic approach to planning its IT investments by including budget and acquisition staff in its decision-making process to ensure everyone understands how those decisions need to support the overall IT goals. GSA has similar arrangement with its investment review board, and Treasury employs a best practice model of IT information resource management. All good things. So the one area I am concerned about, I know Mr. Powder and I have talked about this, and we covered this in a field hearing under your predecessor, Mr. Meadows, Mr. Micah, that was at George Mason University in Northern Virginia. So we start out roughly with Vivek Kundra's 25-point plan that says, let's take 1,600 identified data centers in the federal government and cut it in half. Goal, 800. We introduced a bill that said, well, once we do that, let's get it cut in half again to 400. We have a field hearing a couple of years later, and what do we discover? Well, we didn't quite cut it in half. We discovered 6,100 more. So we went from 1,600 to 7,700, and I believe we've just discovered another 2,000. So now we have 8,700, roughly. There's no way any of us can find that acceptable. I'm glad we're more accurate, apparently, in knowing how many data centers we have. But the game here is to consolidate, to save, to become more efficient, to get rid of the stovepipes within our agencies and between agencies. So I'm very interested in hearing, especially that one, how are we going to make progress? How are we going to avoid discovering? If there are more to be discovered, fine. But the real goal here is to consolidate. And so that one particularly, I'm going to be focused on.
We have to take a break. Today, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. We just heard from Congressman Jerry Connolly, and before that, Congressman Will Hurd from the recent House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing on the IT reform law. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. We will now hear from federal CIO Tony Scott. He tells the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee about agency progress so far in implementing FITARA.
Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today to discuss OMB's work in overseeing the government-wide implementation of the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act. And thank you for your resolute and bipartisan efforts in ensuring that this critical law is implemented successfully. When I last appeared before you, I offered an overview of how FITARA and OMB's implementation guidance enables strategic partnerships among agency CIOs and other senior leaders in the agency. And today I'll focus my remarks on the progress that's been made in institutionalizing FITARA and how OMB is facilitating and overseeing its implementation. OMB's FITARA guidance uses a common baseline approach, which provides direction on the roles and responsibilities of agency CIOs and other leaders for the management of information technology. Each FITARA-covered agency submitted a self-assessment to OMB, describing their current operation compared to the common baseline, and are on schedule to submit an implementation plan showing how they will implement the common baseline requirements by the end of the year. Agency plans were evaluated with four overarching questions in mind. Has the agency identified real breakthrough opportunities for change? Has the agency described a compelling and feasible plan to act on those changes? Does the detailed plan integrate agency leadership with the leadership of bureaus and programs to jointly drive the mission? And finally, does the agency CIO serve as the single point of accountability for the roles and responsibilities identified in the common baseline? And let me assure you that there was no rubber stamp process involved here. With each agency, we've been actively engaged. Our analysis of the initial agency plan submissions revealed several key themes, including but not limited to agency-specific issues in budget formulation, budget execution, and IT acquisition. And we're working actively with each agency to address these issues for their final plan. Our oversight of agency progress in implementing FITARA is being assisted through a number of additional means. We're fostering a government-wide community by holding biweekly meetings on FITARA and by relaunching the website management.cio.gov to serve as a central location for tools and resources. We're collaborating with the President's Management Council, the CIO Council, GSA, and other organizations such as ACT-IACT to facilitate knowledge sharing across the federal enterprise. We're enabling consistent and transparent oversight by requiring that each agency post their implementation plan and related FITARA materials on management.cio.gov. And this will enable OMB, Inspectors General, Congress, GAO, and the public to conduct consistent oversight and follow-up. And we're requiring agencies that have a red CIO risk evaluation on the IT dashboard for three consecutive months to hold TechStat sessions and notify OMB of these sessions. Finally, I want to highlight the work that my office is doing in partnership with OMB's Office of Federal Procurement Policy to leverage FITARA in addressing complex federal acquisitions challenges. We recently issued a category management policy to improve the acquisition and management of laptops and desktops. This memo is the first of a series of policies directing agencies to take new steps to improve the acquisition of common goods and services to drive better performance and efficiencies as required by FITARA. In conclusion, I think FITARA presents a historic opportunity to reform the management of information technology across the federal government. It's important that we do not underestimate the work and the commitment required by agencies and the broader ecosystem to fully implement this law and the changes it represents in culture, governance, IT processes, business process, and quite frankly, the way we do oversight. Simply replaying pages from our old playbook is not the solution. That said, I'm pleased with agencies' promising work to date, and I look forward to the positive results to come as agencies apply FITARA to their full information system lifecycle.
We have to take a break. Today we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. We just heard from federal CIO Tony Scott at the recent hearing on the IT reform law. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. For the next two segments of the show, I sat down with Tony Scott, the federal CIO, to discuss the FITARA hearing and other OMB priorities.
This has been a huge, busy month for you in October. Probably look back since February when you started. It's been a huge, busy month. Let's just start with the news of the day. I guess it's FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act. The committee put out their grades. You got maybe a day and a half now to take a look at them. Just give me your initial take on the grades, the four categories they picked. What's some initial thoughts?
You know, the four categories are obviously things that both the committee and we have obviously been concerned about. FITARA was designed, and the law was specifically designed to address challenges in those areas and others, including governance and CIO authorities and so on. So it's no surprise that, you know, we would have a scorecard in those areas, and in the long run, obviously, other areas as well. You know, I didn't get a chance to see the scorecard until just before the hearing, and I'm still kind of digesting that. But I think the big takeaway for me is that what was there on the scorecard is really more of a what I think of as sort of a baseline, which is before FITARA has really had any full implementation. And as you know, from the scorecard and the footnotes, this was from data that's already been collected before we did anything to put any aspect of FITARA in place. And so I think the scorecard marks a good starting off point for us to say, you know, as we get FITARA implemented, we ought to see improvements in the scores in these categories and, frankly, in other areas as well. And as I said in the hearing, I think one of the things that's important for us to do, both for the committee, for GAO, for the agencies, and for OMB, is to align around what are we going to measure, how are we going to measure it, how often are we going to measure it, and make sure we're in a very concerted way driving for the outcomes that we're looking for. So I thought it's great to see Congress staying involved and concerned and weighing in heavily on this, as well as GAO. And it's important to see that, you know, the agencies are taking it seriously, which I think you heard from the CIOs as well. So that's kind of my initial take. I think, you know, in summary, alignment, making sure we're driving the right things and measuring the same way is, you know, are all critical aspects of what we need to do going forward.
Two things I want to follow up you with. Number one is when you looked at the grades and saw that there was a lot of red scores, a lot of Fs, was that surprising to you? Because you saw the baseline plans, the initial ones from the agencies, and you gave most agencies anywhere from a C minus to a B plus. I know that's looking at the entire FITARA, but they're only looking at these four categories. Were you a little surprised by just how red that scorecard was?
My score that I talked about was looking at a completely different set of things than what's on this scorecard. So what I was reacting to in response to the question on the scoring that you referred to was specifically the agency's self-assessment of where they were, which I thought was pretty good in most cases, and spelled out where they felt they had work to do, as well as their plans going forward for CIO authorities and CIO involvement in budgeting and planning and all of the other things that are part of the common baseline. So what I was referring to was that agency plan, not the data center consolidation and IT portfolio review and incremental development and risk transparency, which this scorecard talks about. So really two different aspects. And again, this scorecard is really data from pre-FATARA implementation. To see the full effects of what FATARA can do, we need to go through, let's call it a life cycle of, you know, agencies actually implementing their FATARA plan, you know, having visibility into the budgets and the portfolios, exercising the right, you know, hiring activities and so on. And I think it's a strong argument to be made that if all of those plans go well, then we ought to see the metrics on some of these other things that were in the scorecard we talked about this week. We ought to see those move in a positive direction.
Then the other piece of this is, which I think you're getting to as well, is you talked a little bit about the meshing of, are we all measuring the right things, or at least measuring the same things or looking at things the same way? How do you go about doing that? Is it a matter of meetings with the committee and GAO or what?
Yeah, no, I think it's important for us all who are concerned about this. And I think it's important for all of us to sit down and agree on, here's the outcomes that we're looking for, and here's how we're going to measure it. And I think somebody in the hearing yesterday said, you get what you measure. And I believe that. And as a result of that, I think we need to come to some common ground on what we're going to measure.
Have you guys reached out? I know, again, it's just you've had it for all of 24 hours or less. How do you go about reaching out and making that happen? Because the committee is, you know, they're already down the path. And you, if you change the baseline, you got to do a new baseline. So it becomes more complicated versus if maybe the committee would have reached out to you or vice versa a month or 2 months ago.
I think there's plenty of room for discussion on this. Again, I take the members' statements at face value that they're concerned and they want to make sure we get this right. And time will tell, but I'm encouraged by the sentiments that were expressed. And I don't believe anybody's locked into, you know, this specific scorecard as the only way we're going to look at FATARA. I think there's plenty of room for discussion, and I certainly heard that from the members after the meeting yesterday. So
another thing that came out during the hearing on November 4th was around data center consolidation. GAO saying there's more than 11,700 data centers now. There's more than $5 billion in potential savings or cost avoidance that's out there. And they also, you know, kind of spilled the beans from your end a little bit, saying that there's some new guidance coming around data center consolidation. I know it's probably still going through the normal process, but what can you tell me about that data center consolidation guidance that is coming?
What's coming this winter is a data center memo, which I think will do a couple of things. First, it will clarify and be more specific in terms of what the definition of a data center is. And as you know all too well, there's been some degree of confusion on that in the past, and a lot of emotion around that as well, quite frankly. And then secondly, we'll be a lot more specific around agencies setting goals for themselves, and OMB will set an overall target for across the federal government that'll be a refresh of the goals and work that's already been done. So those are probably the big elements of it. We intend to spend a little more time in that guidance on the kinds of things that we're looking for as agencies do data center rationalization and consolidation as well. So it'll include things like leveraging shared services and other points that we've made elsewhere as well.
Now, this piece about data center consolidation, for a while it was all about getting rid of them. And then what people saw was a lift and shift. And then it became about optimization, where this idea of even if you can reduce the number of servers or increase the percentage of use of the servers, I think at some point it was 15 or 20% on average. If you can push it to 50, 60, 70%, which path are you going down? Or are you taking both paths, meaning reduce the number, but also increase the capacity and optimization?
I think you have to look at this in sort of a balanced way. So I think you even heard, or maybe it was alluded to in the hearings, some people thought, you know, reducing the number of data centers was the most important thing. Others thought reducing the cost was the most important thing. And we have examples of both of those in the federal government. We have some agencies that reduced the number, but the cost didn't go down, you know, proportionately. And we had other cases where tremendous costs went out, but it was a smaller numeric reduction. And then there are a number of other things that, of course, you alluded to as well, which is the efficiency and utilization of the data centers that you have. Everybody who's running data centers, you know, has their own sort of value in terms of, I want to be running at 80% capacity, or, you know, 90% or 50% or whatever. And, you know, so opinions can vary widely on efficiency and effectiveness and numeric values in this particular space. I think what we want to make sure that we get across as we have this conversation around reducing overall IT costs are, what are the levers that you have to exercise that can help you reduce costs? One of them is deliberate action in the data center space. And you can do it by some combination of, you know, reducing the number of centers, upping your level of utilization, modernizing the servers that you have in the data center, upgrading equipment and gear, you know, getting more efficiency, and a number of other things, including just eliminating applications. That's a great way of sort of reducing your costs and getting to a lower data center footprint. Shifting to cloud services is a great way of eliminating data centers and getting to a smaller footprint. So I think what you'll see is a balanced approach to this that encourages multiple swim lanes, if you will, of getting more effective and efficient IT in that area, and not just a focus on numeric achievement. Although, you know, again, that could be one of the things.
Are you surprised by the need in government to hug your data center? I mean, is this something that you see or you've seen in industry, or is industry much more cold about getting rid of those, you know, data centers?
No, it's a trend that, you know, certainly I focused on in my private sector roles. You know, almost every CIO, I think, found themselves in a, you know, unhappy place a few years ago when we all realized that, you know, this had grown quickly and in many cases gotten out of control. And, you know, as cloud started to really become viable and very cost competitive, in fact, superior, we all realized that scale made a huge difference in this particular space. So I think, you know, government's not unique in this particular case.
Are you bringing in some of those experiences from the private sector into this memo?
Sure, absolutely. And that's the more balanced approach. You know, it's easy to focus on the number of data centers and say that's the culprit here. While I think it's important to focus on that, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I believe a more balanced approach is actually going to get you more than just focusing on the number.
We have to take a break. Today we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. My conversation with Tony Scott, the federal CIO, continues after the break. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we are focusing on the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. I continue my conversation with Tony Scott, the federal CIO, discussing the FITARA hearing and other OMB priorities.
One of the things about moving data centers, or even just a lot of what Fitara is calling for, is the old adage, you know, spend a little money to save a lot of money. And a couple times during the hearing came up the idea of incentivizing agencies to save money by letting them keep some of those savings or all of the savings. That's not a new idea. We've seen the idea of sharing savings. We've seen this concept before. This concept seems to be gaining some momentum on Capitol Hill. What's your thoughts about that incentive? And is there things that you can do from OMB's perspective that maybe doesn't necessarily need Congress?
Well, we're certainly looking at all those possibilities, you know, what we can do from a policy standpoint without changing anything, and then, you know, where we might need help from Congress on this. And I think there's a spectrum. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done in IT that you actually don't need additional funding for. I gave you some examples earlier. You know, you can sometimes pay back in the same year or realize immediate savings by better contracting, or, you know, by eliminating applications and just shutting them down, or other kinds of activities. And then there are things that you do need funding for, because you have to go do the right thing while you're still maintaining the old thing that is costing you a lot of money. And so there's cases where, you know, application replacement doesn't happen magically. You need to, you know, go build the new thing while you're still operating and maintaining the old thing. And at some point you can turn off the old thing that is expensive and costs a lot and realize the savings, but the payback comes further down the road than it does, you know, for other kinds of activities. And so I think, you know, we've got to be clear as an IT community that we identify, you know, where we need funds and for what reasons we need them, and where we're going to go after savings where we don't need additional funding and we can do things all on our own.
The one last piece of this about Fitara, and then I want to move on to FISMA and the new cyber strategy, is this idea of carve-outs. And I know that the National Labs at the Energy Department has asked for carve-outs. I've heard rumors that maybe even someone like NIH may be looking at a carve-out. What are you doing from an OMB perspective to ensure that these carve-outs don't happen? I think it was pretty clear at the hearing that Congressman Connolly, Congressman Hurd were like, that will not be tolerated.
One of the things that I've learned as a CIO is every time there's an exception to a rule or a process or anything that you're doing, you've just added time and cost to whatever it is you were working on. Because in every one of those cases, you have to then have an alternative path, or, you know, there's extra work to do. So I think our default sort of big rule should be, you know, no exemptions. Then there are a few cases in the real world where, for really, really, really good reasons, exemptions, you know, need to be made. But it should be a high bar. It shouldn't be just, you know, on a whim kind of thing. And I think most importantly in my mind is the full cost and the full consequence of what it means when you create an exemption is the thing that has to be weighed. What's the value, and then what's the cost? And I think in the past, we've probably been a little less rigorous about that than we probably need to be going forward.
Are you getting requests for exemptions beyond the one at the National Lab that we know about? And
I think there are many attempts. Few get through is the way I'd characterize it. It's
but you worry me now by saying few. That opens the door for one or two. I mean, do you expect exemptions to happen? I know the bar is high.
Well, look, you know, sometimes there's a national security reason, you know, or sometimes there's a conflict with other law that has to be resolved. But, you know, again, I think there needs to be a really, really high bar there, and it's not just on somebody's desire. So it should be very rare and for really darn good reasons.
All right. I think that's a good bar to put out there. Let's move over to FISMA, the cybersecurity implementation plan. You released A130, a lot of cyber going on. Let me just start with the fact that I've written about this several times. I've talked to Grant Schneider about this, who's on your team. The OMB work around cybersecurity has really taken a huge upswing over the last 18 months or so. And I think a lot of what's coming from this effort can be directly back to the eGov cyber unit, among others. Give me a sense of how you're seeing the evolution, if you will, of OMB's role in terms of with these cyber documents, but and more broadly the cyber marathon, as I guess we're calling it now.
Sure. Well, I think what you're seeing is an appropriate response to what is challenging the federal government in this case, but more broadly challenging all entities, you know, large enterprise, you know, businesses and so on. And that is just a recognition of the fact that cyber issues are one of the, I'd say, compelling things that one needs to pay attention to, you know, as a as an entity or as an organization. And so the eGov Cyber Unit is a response to that growing issue. And like a lot of things in the world, you know, when this first appears on your radar and you start dealing with that issue and you get some maturity with it and you get some experience with it, you morph and you change and you adapt and you, you know, start to deal with the new realities as they come along. And that's exactly what's happening with the eGov Cyber Unit. It's, you know, first situational awareness, assess where we are, you know, what's going on and what can we do in the short run to help ourselves be better in the situation that we find ourselves in. And as you start to get a handle on those things, then you can start looking down the road a bit and saying things like, and what can we be doing in the future that will help us position ourselves better for things that may be coming down the road? And so the eGov Cyber Unit, as we build the team out and as our capabilities evolve, are starting to focus more down the road and be more proactive rather than sort of the initial reactive that inevitably is where you start. And so I'm pleased with the progress of the team. I think everybody recognizes that there's a bunch of work to be done in this space, and it's never going to go away.
Let's talk about the bunch of work, because you laid out a bunch of deadlines. I think I read something around, I think if I remember right, 11 specific deadlines over the next 12 to 18 months. Which ones stand out to you as they're all must-haves, but if you would have to rank them in any kind of order, is there one or two that you'd said, this has really got to get done sooner than later?
Well, I think the people ones, in terms of, you know, level of difficulty of achievement, I think the people ones are probably the most challenging ones. People, human beings are precious commodity, and finding people, training them, getting them on board, you know, all of that is out of necessity, just one of the things that often is harder to do than, you know, turning on a tool or, you know, some of the other things that we have to do. So that one I would put, you know, sort of level of difficulty high, and also partly because of the amount of coordination it takes and so on. There's other things that, you know, DHS can do and pretty much has, you know, a clear path to do or a runway or other entities. But I'd say number one on my radar is just anything that has people, I think, is something we've got to keep a beady eye on and make sure we stay focused.
Let me throw kind of a more general one out there regarding the FISMA, the Cybersecurity Implementation Strategy, and A130. All of these fit together nicely. Do you have kind of a long-term plan that each of these are pieces to that long-term plan? And what would you like to see based on these pieces, all the pieces and parts that are happening at once? Again, you know, 12 months from now, 18 months from now, 2 years from now, that where the government is at with cyber. What's, do you have an end goal in some ways? That, I mean, I know cyber never ends, but what's your end goal in many respects?
Well, I think the way I think about it in terms of a mental model is A130 is sort of the basket or the bowl that is, you know, our long-term sort of broad guidance over how we expect, you know, IT to be managed in the federal government. And then there are things in the bowl that are the CSIP plan, the FISMA guidance that we put out, and other things like that, you know, that will be more timely in terms of you know, a response to what's going on at the moment or in that short time period. But A130 is really the broad framework that I think serves as the container for all the work that we're doing. So, and there are specific goals in each of these. You know, FATARA has its objectives, and it fits in the bowl. The CSIP plan has its objectives and goals, and it fits in the plan. And they're all, as you point out, interrelated, but that's kind of how I think about it. And the strategy in the long run is to accelerate our move to a, you know, more cost-effective, responsive, modern digital government and enterprise. And our metrics, I think, should, in the long run, reflect that.
All right. Tony Scott is the Federal Chief Information Officer. Always a pleasure for you to catch up.
All right. Super. Thanks. Good to talk to you, Jason.
That's all the time we have for today. I'm Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.